To all of you, it's so wonderful to be here. And the first thing I'm supposed to say is, "Hey, Catalyst, you guys can head off." So, are you staying? You're going to stay? Okay. No, don't go anywhere. I guess you're staying. It just feels so good to be with you, and it's an answer to prayer that I can be here right now. A couple things I want to say up front. I don't want this service is an unusual service, and I don't want it to be about me. I want to testify about the Lord, give praise to His name. The Lord has been good to us in so many ways, and I'm just here to say thank you, Lord. I also want to say thank you to all of you who have been praying for your notes and your concern. Just the outpouring of love has been, words can't express how much it has meant to us. In Romans 12, Paul talks about rejoice with those that rejoice and weep with those that weep. And those verses have brought on new significance for us in this time, for Tracy and myself. Just the love that we felt has been incredible. We want to thank each and every one of you. And I want to thank my doctors, and that's doctors plural, because I've got all these people looking after me. And Tim Smith's been my GP for years, and Bruce Robinson looking after me, and so many others, George O'Neill helping me. And it was Madeline and YF and Chin. She was the one that first identified the growth that was in my left lung, and I want to give particular thanks to her for persisting on that. But before I say any more, I want to hand it over to my wife, Trace, and she's going to have a few things to say.
Good morning, everyone. There's nowhere on earth I'd rather be than right here with you all this morning. And again, we just want to say thank you. Thank you for being here. I just wanted to give an update on Graham. It's been 3 months now that he has had this pain in his shoulder, and we thought it was his shoulder. And by the persistence of Madeline saying, no, you need more tests, she felt God strongly prompting her. And even right up until those tests came, we still just couldn't get our heads around it was anything else. So there is a growth in Graham's lung, and God has been so good. I mean, you know, you can take weeks to have to see people, but Bruce Robinson saw us immediately, and you know, after having the MRI and the biopsy, a needle aspiration, the tests were inconclusive, so he recommended that Graham have surgery. So he has this really cool scar about 6-7 inches long on his back, and he's grossing everyone out. If anyone wants to look, he's happy to show you. And so Tuesday night we took him in, and again, God's grace. A friend of Bruce Robinson, Dr. Mark Edwards, did the surgery. And at 10 o'clock, they wheeled him back into the room I was waiting. And the nurses were so encouraging. They said, oh, he did really well. He did really well. And they woke him briefly, and they said, are you in any pain? He goes, nope, no pain, no pain. And he was so funny, because he would just wake up periodically, go, okay, I'm right, I'm good, I'm ready to go. And then he'd fall back to sleep, and I think, well, where do you think you're going, you know? And he did that off and on, and about 1 o'clock he woke up and said he was really hungry, and he ate some sandwiches very quickly and then proceeded to fall back to sleep. And it was really, it was really amazing. I sat with him for 6 hours and watched him do that regularly, and about 4 o'clock he fully came awake. And he was so, I was so thankful. He was so positive, and he was feeling good, and he wasn't in any pain. And even the nurses kept saying, well, 0 to 10, what's your pain? And he said, 0. And I believe that's your prayers. I really do. I really do. So, and the Dr. Edwards came in and said, I got a good size sample. And so on Tuesday at 10:30, we are going to see Dr. Bruce Robinson, and he will tell us. And hopefully we'll know what we're dealing with, and we'll know what what course of action needs to be taken. But this has been just an amazing time of reflection, and I just wanted to share some things with you. Now, it was about 16 years ago, Graham and I lost a baby to miscarriage, and it really devastated us. But I, when I became pregnant with Carson, I was quite fearful, and I just remember being anxious through the pregnancy, worried about him. And then when he was born, it didn't stop. And for all those mothers out there, they understand that you don't usually take a baby home and the first night that baby sleeps 9 hours. And I can remember being scared to walk in the room. And, of course, he was fine. But I hated feeling so afraid. And I remember sitting with Graham and sharing this with him. And, as usual, he calmly and peacefully said to me, if it was God's decision to take Carson, he was just so thankful for the time we've had with him, because that little guy had brought so much joy into our lives. And that really helped me. And I, doing this wonderful Bible study with some beautiful women here at SUBI on Esther. And, you know, she has a theme every week. It's tough being a woman. And one was in a fistful of fear, with a fistful of fear. And, that impacted me because, you know, in that I discovered that the thing God tells me the most, tells us the most, is do not be afraid. Do not be afraid. That's the thing he tells us the most. And I just love the fact that my God understands that, you know, I can be fearful. And he tells me, do not be afraid. So that conversation about Carson and the Esther study, that just all those things have helped me to know my amazing God. And I'm thankful, and that has helped me too. I'm thankful for the doctors. We're just so blessed that people have just availed themselves and made things happen so quickly for us. I'm thankful my daughter hadn't left for America. I don't know where Paige is here. But she was supposed to leave Tuesday night for 6 months to America. I'm so thankful that she, you know, that God's timing is perfect. It would have been awful to have her all the way over there, and I know she would have wanted to be home. I'm so thankful for you all. I'm so thankful that I met the Lord 27 years ago, and it changed my life. And a few months later, I met this guy, and he's changed me. God and Graham have changed me. I'm not the same person. And Graham never ceases to amaze me. I've seen him in many settings, and every week I can honestly say to you, I look forward to hearing what he has to say. He inspires me, he influences me, and he motivates me. And he's my rock on earth. He's been my safe place to fall, and he's been the love of my life. And I'm thankful, and I am thankful for those years I've had with him, and I hope for more. But I am truly thankful. And that has helped me as well. So in saying that, I do believe God does not have to heal Graham. I believe that. Even though it is our hope and our prayers, we are not entitled to anything. We are no more special than anyone else. Things happen to everyone. We're no more special. And I think of 1 Peter chapter 5, and he says, young men, in the same way, be submissive to those who are older. All of you, clothe yourselves with humility toward one another, because God opposes the proud and gives grace to the humble. Humble yourselves, therefore, under God's mighty hand, that he may lift you up in due time. And, you know, because I, you know, when it first happened, I'm like, oh, God, you won't take Graham. You're using him. And I just thought, I can't be arrogant in that. You know, God doesn't need Graham, but it's my prayer that he still wants to use him. That's my prayer. And I take comfort in knowing. I absolutely know and I absolutely believe God can heal him. And Chris O'Neill, who was here at the service earlier, she's testimony to that. Our God is powerful, almighty, the creator of this universe, the creator of us, and I know he can do all things. So I take comfort in that too. And I was thinking about what does it mean to be blessed, and you know, we've got a good life, and I've appreciated that God has given us things materially and everything, but nothing is greater than love. The love I have felt from my family and you all is so powerful. I have felt your prayers. You know, when I can feel myself at times feeling sad, and I just feel the love and the prayers of the people, my beautiful family in this church, and I just thank you. It's more powerful and more meaningful than anything I could ever hope to have. So bless you. Bless you for your faithfulness to us. Bless you for your prayers. And keep praying. And especially for Graham, as that massage chair has come in really handy, because that's what he's sleeping in. And I don't like going to bed and leaving him there on his own, but it's the only place he can feel as comfortable to sleep. So pray for sleep. Pray for the pain not to get too bad. And just know that we love you and we're so grateful. Thank you.
Well, once or twice in one's lifetime, you receive news where everything changes. And I guess that's where we're at. And when you receive that kind of news, the first thing you do is you pause. You pause because what seemed so important a day or two ago, you realize that it doesn't really matter at all. The things that you were thinking about and that occupied your time, all of a sudden, they seem so trivial. The second thing you do is you begin to reflect. I'm 49 years old. I was 16 when I began my journey of faith in earnest, believing and trusting in this God and in His Son, Jesus Christ. Faith in God, what is it? What does it really mean? We talk about faith. Now, a lot of people think faith is this thing when if you get everything in place, you have a nice house, you got a good job, you got money in the bank, happy family, you're all healthy, then all of a sudden, once you get all that stuff in place, all those bases covered, faith is this cherry that goes on the top that you can now pursue as a luxury, as a hobby. Can I see my Maslow's hierarchy? Some of you are familiar with this. The bottom, Maslow, talks about the things that we need. We need shelter, the things we need physically, and then goes up. And you look at the very top, the first thing you see, morality. Like morality is a luxury. That's something that comes at the, you know, figuring out what's right and what's wrong and what's true and what's false. That comes at the end? Really? Tracy and I have been reading through the Psalms together. In Psalm 11, there's a line that says this: when the foundations are being destroyed. You know what that means? It means when your world is crumbling around you. What do you do? What do you do? You don't know how much God means until those foundations are destroyed. You don't know the value and the worth of faith in Jesus Christ until those pillars and those supports are taken from you and you are left alone with your faith. Then you know the true worth of knowing God. That's where I'm at now. I was talking to my friend Sue Pearlman. 23 years ago, she had cancer, went through chemo. And then 20 years later, it came back, and she went through chemo a second time. We've been Skyping and talking over the last 10 days. And she said, Graham, what you're going through, it will change you. You will not be the same. I say, amen. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for teaching me new things at age 49. Showing me new insights. Giving me a greater glimpse of who you are and how precious you are. Faith is not this thing that you just put as a hobby, as a luxury. When the foundation is being destroyed, that's the one thing you want in your life. You want to know that God is present and that God sees. Look at what it says in Psalm 11. When the foundations are being destroyed, what do? Verse 4, the Lord is in His holy temple and the Lord is on His heavenly throne. You know what that reminds us? It says, when everything in our world is falling apart, remember this, God is still God, He's still Lord. He's on His throne and nothing has changed. The Lord is still God. Praise Him for what He's showing me, for what He's teaching me. I was with Bill and Sue Trudgeon this week. And they've been going through the horrible grief of losing their son, Brad. I remember Bill looked up at me and he said, Graham, he said, how do people cope without God? Bill shook his head. He said, I don't know how they make it. How do they do it, Graham? How do they do it? Bill, I don't know. Honestly, don't know either. I'm so glad I don't have to know. Philippians 1:21 says, for me to live is Christ. Those words become even more meaningful to me as I've reflected on my life. For me to live is Christ. If the Lord gives me one more day, one more week, the Lord grants me in His mercy 40 more years, I want to be able to say every day I wake up, for me to live is Christ. And I know nothing can change that. Nothing. Nothing can take that from me. Some of the things that I've been thinking about. My friend Sue Pearlman is really a sister to me. When her cancer came back the second time, she found herself in this really high-risk category. And it was something that she said to me. She said, Graham, I kept telling myself over and over again, I am not a statistic. I'm not a statistic. And I guess that's what I want to share with you today. I'm not a statistic either. God doesn't see me that way. I've heard the reports, the percentages and the numbers. And you know what? We're going to take all that and just push it aside. Because none of that stuff really matters. You know, well, the only thing that really matters is what our God is going to say and do. It's all that really matters. And so I've said, Lord, I'm pushing all that aside. And I'm granting You have the final say in my life. If You want to heal me, You do that. It's Your choice. I'll trust You. Tracy and I were reading together 1 Corinthians. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, beginning at verse 18, where it says, "For the message of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing." Foolishness. We're wasting our time. Did you know that? Grasping at straws. Look what else it says. "But to us who are being saved, it is the power of God. For it is written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise. The intelligence of the intelligent I will frustrate." I hope God takes all these statistics and percentages and says to the intelligent, to the wise, "I have something better. I still have something to say about this." Where's the wise man? Where's the scholar? Where is the philosopher of this age? Has not God made foolish the wisdom of this world? For since in the wisdom of God, the world through its wisdom didn't know Him, God was pleased through the foolishness of what was preached to save those who believe. Jews demand miraculous signs and Greeks look for wisdom. But we preach Christ crucified, a stumbling block to Jews, foolishness to Gentiles, but to those whom God has called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ, the power of God and the wisdom of God. For the foolishness of God is wiser than man's wisdom, and the weakness of God is stronger than man's strength. So here I am. And I have nothing apart from saying my life is in the hands of living God. And I'm happy to be in that place. And let Him in His wisdom do what He deems best. The Lord will get the final say. I'm not a statistic and I'm not a victim. I've experienced blessings in my 49 years that have made my life so rich. The 21 years I've had with Tracy have been amazing. She's been just such a wonderful wife, friend, and companion. I can't praise God enough. My children, the friendships I have in this church, you all. You have blessed me in ways that you cannot even imagine. I want to let you know, I'm not going to go easily. I'm going to fight. I want to be strong. Death and disease, our God didn't create these things. They're the result of sin. Part of the evil in this world. Well, I intend to fight. And I know that no matter what happens, the Lord has the victory. Susan was telling me, Graham, you got to have positive people around you. So you hear that? You need to be positive. You need to support me. You know, a number of people have come up and they've been saying to me, you know, Graham, you'll be with the Lord. That's good. That's good. They thought they needed to remind me of that. I'm letting you know it's okay. I know that. I don't need to be reminded of that. It's all right. But I have nothing to fear. Seriously, I have nothing to fear. And the Lord has made me who I am. He's made me a fighter by nature. And I'm not going to just give in. The Lord is sovereign. I believe it's my responsibility to fight. That's what I intend to do. And I'm hopeful. I'm hopeful. You get news and kind of all your future plans just kind of go out the window. And then you start thinking just from 1 hour to the next. I'd like to think I'm still in my prime, that I still have more to offer. But I'll leave that in God's hands. As Tracy said, the Lord doesn't need Graham Johnston. He doesn't need me. But in His mercy, maybe He'll choose to heal me and let me stay around longer. There's more I'd like to do. Plans, dreams we've had. For here, for Subi, for around the world. The Lord may still let that happen. Remember in Acts 12 when Herod had killed James, one of the leaders in the church, and then he arrested Peter. And he was going to kill him the next day. And the people of God gathered and they were praying. And God miraculously freed Peter from that prison. And then when Peter showed up and he was knocking on the door where they're praying, they couldn't believe. They're like, no, that can't be Peter. He's in prison. Would you promise me this? Promise me that you'll pray and we will not be surprised when God does something miraculous. I'd love to see God do something miraculous, not only in me, but in you and in us. And let's not be surprised when He does. I want to close with these words. I stand here and I say, Lord, take my life and use it for Your glory. Whatever You have for me, be glorified. That's one more week. 10 years, 40 years, it's to Your glory, Lord. I carry this wristband. It says on it, WHF. That's how I want my life to be, a wholehearted follower of Christ. The Lord's taught me amazing things. For some of you, maybe this, my life as your pastor, is a wake-up call. Maybe it's a wake-up call for you. Where's your faith? Where's your hope? Where's your strength? My strength is in the Lord. I want to follow Jesus Christ with a whole heart. My prayer as your pastor is that every one of you would be able to say that. My strength is in the Lord. I'm going to follow Him with a whole heart. You do that. Make this pastor happy. God bless you and thank you.